Morning. I just wanted to make a few announcements this morning. We have no youth group this Sunday. Today, no youth group. I've been asked to announce that starting next Sunday and over the three Sundays, so the 9th and then that following and then the following Sunday, Rod Meyer, the congregational chairman, will be in the Bethesda room. If anybody has any questions about constitutional revisions, he'll be there to answer any questions about the constitutional revisions. And then right around in the first service, about 9:20-ish, we're going to have a special voters meeting this morning that we announced last week at both services regarding staffing issues here, getting somebody to help with custodial issues and some other short-term staff, not short-term staff. What word am I looking for, John? Part-time. There you go, part-time staff at school. So those will be right after first services is ended and in between the services. We begin the divine service this morning with the singing of our first hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, be present now.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, October 2nd, 2022 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Casey Jones, Rachel Welker, and Robert Clem. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 902, Lord Jesus Christ, Be Present Now. Hymn number 902 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Teresa, Kylie, Ben, Whitney, and Presley Ricard are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God and loving memory of Dennis Ricard. The Ladies' Aid is sponsoring the flowers on the stand, as well as the radio broadcast, to the glory of God in celebration of LWML Sunday.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, Have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the responsive psalm. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken.
How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence.
They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse.
For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God.
Trust him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath.
Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them.
Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God.
And that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, by your grace hear the prayers of your church. Grant that those things which we ask in faith we may receive through your bountiful mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the book of the prophet Habakkuk, the first and second chapters. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at the watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord. The Catechetical Review, in regards to the Table of Duties, what hearers owe their pastors. The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Anyone who receives instruction in the Word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out to the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. The epistle reading from 2 Timothy, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of this life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 587.
I Know My Father Is Founded, hymn number 587, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text this morning from our Old Testament reading, the book of the prophet Habakkuk, second chapter, the fourth verse. But the righteous shall live by his faith. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, when we read that text, when we read from the prophet, we might be thinking that we are in fact, reading from the Apostle Paul, the righteous shall live by his faith. Here, from an Old Testament prophet, we hear the very words St. Paul quotes in the book of Romans, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, this should not surprise us, for the same Holy Spirit has inspired the Old Testament writers and the New Testament writers. The same Holy Spirit has inspired the prophets as well as the apostles. But here in the prophet's writing, we find the teaching, the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. It is the doctrine of justification. The gospel, the good news that our God is the author of salvation, is the central teaching of the Holy Scriptures. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. The gospel is the reason for the Christian's confidence in life everlasting. For through these words, the Holy Spirit works faith in the hearer so that the hearer trusts in the promises of God. The gospel is neither a human work nor is it an attribute of God himself. Rather, the gospel is that which identifies everything that God has done for you on your behalf for your salvation, to save you, his people, through Jesus Christ. Martin Luther helps us understand this when he writes, "At first I saw that the free grace of God was necessary to attain light and eternal life, and I anxiously worked to understand the words of St. Paul in Romans, 'The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel.' I questioned this passage," he says Luther, "and I labored over it, for the expression, 'the righteousness of God,' barred my way." Now that's odd sounding to us, because he worked it through and we have the fruits of his and other persons' labors. But this phrase was customarily explained to mean the righteousness of God. That is, was a phrase customarily explained to mean that the righteousness of God is a virtue in and of God himself, in which he is righteous and he condemns sinners. The teachers of the church in Luther's day had said that the righteousness of God was basically the wrath of God. "I wished," said Luther, "that God had never revealed the gospel, for who could love a God who was angry and a God who judged and condemned people?" This misunderstanding continued, writes Dr. Luther, "until enlightened by the Holy Spirit, I finally examined more carefully the words of the prophet Habakkuk, 'The just shall live by his faith.' From this passage, I concluded that life must be derived from faith. The entire Holy Scripture then became clear to me, and heaven itself was open to me. And now we see that brilliant light more clearly, and we are privileged to enjoy it abundantly. The righteousness of faith is not a description of how we live, but rather it is a description of how we are made holy in the eyes of God. The righteousness of faith is nothing else than the forgiveness of sins, the gracious adoption of poor sinners for the sake of Christ's obedience." The poor Christian, then, oppressed by their sins, surrounded by the cares of the world, oftentimes does not see and many times does not feel that God loves or even cares for her. Trusts even that there is a God and that this God, revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, indeed does love her and is indeed gracious to her for the sake of Jesus Christ. But rather, looking upon the cross, such a Christian sees that there is a God who loved her so much as to undertake the sacrifice of the cross, and that the Son did all of this out of mercy and love. How could this same God then not help but love her? This despite everything that she sees and she experiences in her life. Such was the turmoil that Habakkuk faced. He looked around himself and saw that the leaders of his nation were corrupt. They enforced the laws haphazardly. The poor were oppressed. Justice and righteousness was not the order of the day. But if you could buy your way out of court, you were able to buy your way out of court. If you were had the right connections, then the right things got done for you. The law was enforced haphazardly or according to the whims of those in power. They would prosecute some and they would let others go. Well, we all know what this does. This encourages a general lack of obedience to the law. And ultimately, all of this results in a corrupt system. In the midst of such injustices, we find the prophet crying out, "Oh God, where are you? Why do these things happen? Why are we oppressed? Why are we put upon by those who are disobedient and ungodly? Where is your justice? And where is the Messiah you have promised?" Such are the questions that the prophet is crying out and asking God. And after he pours out his laments, what does he declare? He turns and says, "I will take my stand at my watchpost. I will station myself on the tower." faced with the injustices of his day and the injustices of the country in which he was residing at the time, the land of Judah, he does not turn away from God. Instead, he turns to God. He does not turn away from God. He turns into God. He will lean into God. He will expect an answer from God. He will expect God to fulfill his promises. What is God's answer to the prophet? God's answer to the prophet is, here's your answer, and I want you to make it big so that somebody running down the street can read it on the billboard and keep running and keep going and tell other people. God will punish the wicked. That is God's answer to the prophet. He says, the process is ongoing, the time will come, but the wicked will be punished, and God will punish the wicked through the foreign nation that would be invading the land of Judah soon. He will send his Messiah also, but he will send his Messiah not as the people expected, a political Messiah to raise Judah and Jerusalem to national or international prominence. Instead, he will send his Messiah to pay for the sin of the world, to redeem all of mankind, and to bring peace between the Creator and the created. God, as we know, sent his Son, Jesus, to do all of this. The prophet is waiting for this to happen. It did not happen in his day, but he had to continue to wait patiently for God to fulfill his promises. We New Testament Christians, we wait faithfully and patiently also. We know that the Savior has come, that he was born for us, that he lived a perfect life in our place, that he was crucified in our place, that he died an innocent death so that we might have eternal life, that he has risen from the grave, ascended into heaven with the very promise that he will return in glory to take all believers to himself and recreate this world and make it new the way it is intended to be in God's eyes. We know this, that Jesus has made this promise, but what is our cry? We look at the world around us, we look at our trials, our tribulations, our troubles, we look at how things are going, how in our country it is becoming easier and easier to put down Christianity, to mock it, to make fun of it, and to laugh at it, and even to oppress it with nobody thinking anything about it, or very few thinking anything about it. Our cry goes out, how long? How long, O Lord? Not only is there turmoil and injustice and oppression in the world, these things exist in our personal lives too. How long, O Lord, goes the cry? How long, we cry out. Where are you, Lord? When will you fulfill your promises? But what does faith do? Faith trusts the promises of God, not only the promise of the second coming and the resurrection, but also the promises that despite the current circumstances of our lives, we are loved by our God. And if the promises of God seem slow in coming, then wait for them. They will surely come forth. The promises of God will be made known at the proper time, at the time God has ordained for them to be shown to us. Remember what St. Peter writes. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and its works that are undone on it will be exposed. How long, O Lord? How long? Therefore, you faithful, all you who wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage, for the righteous will live by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We now rise for prayers. Gracious God, friend of the struggling, helper of the overwhelmed, hear us as we ask for faith that has great confidence in your promises of help in times of turmoil. strength for the day, and that the veiled glory of your saints will one day be revealed to all. Keep us, O Lord, in true faith and to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, as we pray for faith that trusts unto life everlasting, we ask you, Lord, to comfort those who mourn the death of loved ones. Grant peace in all ways to the family of Catherine April as they mourn Catherine's death. Also comfort the family of Ray Gonzalez as they grieve over the death of his niece, Lisette. Give unto both of these families your peace and the comfort of the certainty of the resurrection of the dead for all those who die in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord Jesus Christ, ruler of wind and wave, we humbly ask that in the wake of this week's hurricane, the people in charge of government entities would work together, would work smoothly to ensure help to the afflicted areas. We ask that law enforcement and first responders be held in high regard and respected, and that looting and criminal activity be held at bay. May all the afflicted find in their neighbors comfort, help, and support. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, as the harvest is beginning in earnest now, we ask you to hear our prayers for those who work on farms and in the ag industry. We pray you to keep them safe from harm as they work long hours around dangerous machinery. Bless them with clarity of mind and strength of body so that they do their labor to the best of their abilities and return home for a good night's sleep, ready to rise and serve you and us in the morning. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray also, O Lord, for the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and thanking you for all of the work that they do in the harvest fields, for the money they raise for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for all the works of mercy that they are engaged in. We pray you to bless the women of our congregation, and not just those in the LWML, but all the women of our congregation, that they be bastions of faith for their family and teachers of righteousness for their children and lovers of the home. We ask you to bless them and keep them in your care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O Christ, as we approach your table to receive here your great gift, we ask for the faith that comprehends that in, with, and under the bread and wine is truly your body and blood, just as you have said, for the forgiveness of our sins and for the strengthening of our faith. May we see past the outward forms of bread and wine and find here in your body and your blood the highest good for our souls. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Pastor Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot physically be present, join us every Sunday morning over the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live, as well as on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for the singing of the offertory. Up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Christ will strengthen and preserve you each in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. True body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 685, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus, hymn number 685, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
No junior or senior high youth group this evening. We are going to have here in the next few minutes a voters meeting. I'll invite Rod forward. I will take a few minutes if you need to make an announcement on anything, and for Dora to get down with the ballots and sign-in sheets. I'm going to slide into the sacristy to disvest, and then I'll be back and we'll get the meeting going. May the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
Yep, good. Thank you. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. If you guys want a cup of coffee and come back, that's fine.